What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Brooklyn Boxing Podcast. I am joined by Shane Mosley Jr. How's it going? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I watched your last fight, of course, on DAZN. It was a good, solid win. And you, I know you had a lot of talk around, you know, the fight and wanting to stay busy, obviously, with coronavirus and everything going on. You know, it's difficult to do that. But, you know, right off the bat, I'd love to hear from you in terms of, you know, what you got going on in terms of your schedule. What are you looking to try to do? And are you trying to get a fight in before the end of the year? Or what's on the books for you?
So we don't have anything on the books just yet. I mean, I'm a fighter, so I would love to fight anytime before the new year. But to be honest, you know, I got to work with my promotional company, you know, and right now they're not having as many fights. I think they have two fights like on the books right now, which is, I believe, Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell. And then they have Munguia and Johnson. So, and then, you know, they have a list of other fighters that they have to fight on, you know, their roster. So since I already fought on their first card back from coronavirus, I probably won't be high on that list of guys returning, you know what I mean? Because they still have a whole bunch of lists of guys that are in line, like, hey, I want to fight. Hey, you know what I mean? Pick me. You know what I mean? We're all fighters, man. We, you know what I mean? We only, you know, get paid when we fight. So, you know, obviously everybody wants to fight. And so if you have a lot of fighters, like a company like Golden Boy, you got a lot of people to please. So with all that being said, I'm not sure if I'll fight at the end of this year, fingers crossed. But if I do, you know what I mean, I'll be excited and super duper happy. But, you know, if I don't, you know, then we hopefully next year we can get things going. And when they have more fights and coronavirus gets moving and, you know, everything like that, you know, you just kind of, this is one of those things where you just got to be understanding of the situation and kind of take things as is. But if they call me tomorrow, I'm there. I'll be there.
Yeah. And imagine, you know, you mentioned, you know, before the call here that, you know, you're living in Vegas and, you know, being in the gyms in Vegas, I'd be curious to hear from you, you know, being around all the other fighters, regardless of the weight division. I'm sure a bunch of guys are really itching to go, as you are, right? I mean, there's a lot of guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Waiting,
absolutely.
Right? So how's the training been? And I'm curious, is the sparring stepped up a level in the intensity? Because guys are really trying to, you know, guys are itching to go.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, sparring's a big part and everybody wants to be on top of the game just in case they get a call, you know what I mean? Like, just in case they call me tomorrow and say, hey, somebody dropped out, I'm ready. You know what I mean? So of course, you know, everybody's, you know, trying to stay somewhat close to their, you know, where they need to be to get there without burning out, because that's another thing. You know what I mean? You can't stay too sharp. If you try to sharpen a thing, a sword or a knife too much, it'll dull. So, and that's with anybody. So you have to be able to stay at a good place so that you're able to be ready when the time comes. But yeah, with all that said, yes, I do agree that there's been a lot of hard training and guys, you know, doing some good sparring.
Well, at the moment, you know, you're staying ready, you're staying sharp. You know, if you had an opportunity to, you know, get a fight before the end of the year, are there any names, you know, you'd like to mention or any guys kind of on your radar? I know you want to try to crack into, you know, the rankings and get some more buzz around your name. Is there any kind of guys that maybe not you want to call out, but guys that, you know, you have your eye on a little bit?
There's nobody that really stands out in particular, to be honest. I'm just taking it one step at a time. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if it's, you know, one of the top guys, cool. If, you know, if it's just somebody that keep me busy, cool. Like, whatever. I'll take whatever. This point.
Whatever weight class as well. I know, I mean, you've moved around a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've fought 168 before. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, honestly, I mean, if beggars can't be choosers, man. Like right now, like if I was in a position like, you know, guys like Ryan Garcia, Canelo Alvarez, okay, you know what I mean? But I'm, you know, right now I'm not at that level just yet. You know, I'm not at that level where I can be, hey, I want this guy, this guy, this guy. I'm at a level where I'm like, I got to kind of, you know, take what I can get, really. Until I get to that point, then I could be like, hey, I want this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. You know what I mean? But until then, you know, I mean, I got to, you know, kind of play with, you know, where I am.
Definitely. And, you know, also obviously curious to hear about, you know, a lot of guys that I have on here. I try to get them to tell their story a little bit and their journey into the sport, you know, what brought them into the sport. But I'd love to hear from you and just, you know, your start in boxing, you know, obviously heavily influenced from your dad, right? And you know, a lot of motivation there, but obviously a lot of weight, right? Carrying that name and a lot of expectations, you know, that a lot of superstars kids have to deal with. And you know, I'd just be curious to have you talk about a little bit about that and kind of how you dealt with it and maybe how you use it now to your advantage to, you know, to push forward.
Yeah, man. So where do I start? I mean, I was getting rolled up in a stroller to the boxing gym ever since I can remember, man. You know, I was been around boxing my whole entire life. Have been to many of my dad's fights, just many fights in general. But I didn't start really wanting to do it for myself until I got about 16 years old, where I would, you know, really one of my buddies who was a big fan of my dad's, he like huge like boxing fan, but he loved my dad. He had asked me to go to Azusa Boxing Club, which is somewhat close to where my house was, and he was being trained by a guy named Zach Padilla, who was a former world champion. And so he asked me one day, hey man, you want to come down to the gym and spar? And like me, you know what I mean, like not even thinking nothing of it, I'm like, yeah, I'll come down with you, I mess around, you know what I mean, all right. And so we go down to the gym, we go and spar. I remember that day I had a bloody nose. He got me pretty good, you know what I mean, obviously, you know, we're going back and forth and stuff like that. But, you know, he got me pretty good. And next day I was like, I'm coming back. Oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming back. I'll be there. Like, training tomorrow and then we sparring again the next day. I'm there. So sure enough, that's how it started, man. Just like kind of randomly. And then I told my dad, I'm like, hey, man, like, I really like this. You know what I mean? He told me, he said, look, if you're going to do this for real, but, you know, like, if don't just say you're going to do it and not do it. And, you know, or like, just like mess around. People can really get hurt.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, I'm doing it. So,
I'm sure his eyes lit up, right? When you told him that.
Not particularly. You know, it was more like tread with caution. You know what I mean? Like it was more on that level. It wasn't more like, oh, like, oh, my son is getting it. It was more like, all right, if you're going to do this, like, be careful. You can get hurt. You know what I mean? Like, this is dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this is dangerous, man. Like, and it ain't all, you know, rainbows and butterflies and shit. You know, it's some real stuff. It's dirty. This game is real dirty. And my grandfather was a big advocate on that, too. He's like, hey, man, this is a dirty game. This is a real dirty game. This is not, you know, it's not glory. This is more so dirty than anything. And then, you know, I mean, you get the, you know, the lights and stuff like that every now and again. But for the most part, this is a dirty game. And you know, the more and more I got into it, the more and more I saw the dirty, the more and more I saw things that I liked and appreciated and understand in myself. And the more and more I grew as a person and as a man, and
was there an expectation that you had for yourself in terms of, you know, the success that you wanted in your career, or were you completely on your own journey in terms of, you know, this is my career? Your dad kept that separate as well.
You know, there's always, you know, some form of expectation with yourself and things like that. But I find that when you have those expectations, especially in a sport that like this one, which is kind of, it's very random. You know what I mean? It's not as structured as other sports. It's not like, you know, they're like, oh yeah, like, and you know, if you do this, 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 and this, you're going to get here. You know what I mean? Like, it's very random. So with that being said, I learned that the expectations isn't always good, and you just gotta do the work, do the hard work, believe in yourself, and just fight every fight like it's your last. And that's really, that's.
How quick was the jump from, you know, you're at a pretty young age when you got in, but not super young, right? I mean, it's not like a lot of guys, you know, get in when they're 8 years old, whatever. Like, so then you made that jump to the pros. How long after?
I was 23 years old when I turned professional. So
6 years pro.
Yeah, I've been 6 years pro now. But yeah, it was like 5 years or so from when I was an amateur. I had 50 fights, or around 50. And yeah, I thought I was ready to go and ready to, you know, try make that transition. And yeah, I feel like I've learned along the way. I don't feel like there was ever that's like aha moment. I think it's, you're always learning, you're always growing, you're always becoming better. And I think that's the point of being a fighter. You're expressing yourself and who you are as a person in that ring. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what people want to see. They want to see the desire, that they want to see that person in the ring. You know what I mean? They want to see how the greatness of that person and bring it out and show it against another person trying to bring out the best in their self. And that's, you know, what makes fights so great.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot, hopefully, you know, a lot of glory to come for you in the future. I know we're all excited to, you know, watch your next fight, whenever that is, if it's this year or whenever it gets on the books. But you know, you're a pro, you've been a pro now for some time. You obviously seen a lot of guys come and go, and there's some new stars in the middleweight division and some guys that have really, you know, got the spotlight right now. I'd love just to hear a little bit about, you know, kind of your thoughts on the Charlo brothers as fighters, and maybe, you know, if you know, Tony Harrison obviously had a great fight against Charlo. You know, that's your division is hot right now, so I'd be curious to hear, you know, your opinion on some of those top guys, and if you think the Charlos are here to stay, maybe until you get your hands on one of them.
Yeah, man, I think that there's a lot of great talent in the middleweight division. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of talent in boxing right now. Like, right. I mean, to be honest, like, there's just an incredible amount of talent right now.
It really is. Right.
But in from my middleweight division,
too, right? I mean,
yeah, from the bottom all the way up to the top, man. Like, it's pretty great. I think this is one of the greatest times to be a boxer, for real. I mean, mm-hmm. I just wish, like, honestly, I wish if the pandemic didn't like hit right now, like, we'd be having like some incredible fights.
But that's the honestly, that's the one thing I will say that. In a weird way, I feel like the pandemic has helped combat sports because,
right,
you know,
right.
Especially, and the UFC is doing really well, but, you know, the Lomachenko Lopez did huge numbers, I think around 3 million people at the peak. And then we got October 31st is like a crazy date in boxing. There's the
ESPN
card is Inoue and Michaela Mayer, then Showtime, Davis and Santa Cruz. And then DAZN, you got Chisora and Usyk. So like,
yes. Oh man, boxing.
So it's like,
I said, it's like one of the best times to be a boxer right
and
now.
And no one else is incredible. Like, no one's doing anything. Everyone's hanging out. So it's like, you know, these fights hopefully I'll get a lot of viewership and fans and stuff like that. But you're so right. There's so much talent from the top to the bottom right now. So
right. But anyways, in the middleweight division, man, there's a lot of great talent. There's a lot of great fights out there. You know, there's Munguia, obviously there's Canelo, there's Andre
Dennis Hogan, former podcast guest of mine, gotta give him a shout out.
yeah Dennis Hogan. There's the Charlos, Tony Harrison. I'm not sure if he's going up. to 160, or if he's staying down at 154. But I mean, you know, obviously, if the money's right, I'm sure he's going where the money's at. You know, there's a lot of great talent out there, man. And obviously some younger guys coming up. I'm sure that they're looking at these guys like, man, I can come get them. So there's a lot of great opportunities out there for the middleweight division and for me as a middleweight. Yeah. So I just got to keep building myself up to get to that point to where I can be in the conversation to be talking with these guys. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the opportunities. I'm excited about all of the great things to unfold. I just got to do my part and get there. I'm not the one to be like talking about, oh yeah, like when I get there, I got to get there first. So I got to do the action of doing what I need to do in order to get there. And then when I'm there, I could say, yeah, this is, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, when I get there, I'm going to do this, that, and the third and that. Nah, let me get there. So my part right now is to do what I need to do to get there to the dance. So that's what I'm doing right now. And training, you know, so when I get a fight, I'm ready to let my name be heard.
For sure. And did Lopez's win, you know, I'm curious, Lopez's win over Lomachenko, did that give you a little bit of an extra buzz? And just kind of, I'm thinking fighters in general, because they talked a little bit about afterwards that Lopez said, you know, look, I'm 23 years old. I took the big risk. It paid off. Hopefully this motivates other guys to move like how I'm moving and, you know, don't worry about their record as much, you know, protecting themselves, things like that. So do you get what I'm trying to say there? You felt like there was a little bit of an energy shot back into the boxing world with that win and it kind of changing your guard there?
Well, absolutely. I mean, he most definitely showed how great he was. And I think, you know, he had his shot at the four minute mile, you know what I mean? That saying where, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can go at somebody great and beat them and show them that I'm deserving of that, of to be here, then you can do that. And absolutely. He most definitely gave me some inspiration. I think he did a great job. He fought his ass off that 12th round. He showed what it was like to be a true champion. I honestly didn't think that he would win. That's my honest opinion. I didn't think that. And he most definitely proved me wrong. You know what I mean? And I can say that as a man, and I'm proud of him. You know what I mean? I'm proud that he was able to show out the doubters, the people that said, oh, you don't got enough experience for this. He showed that he deserves to be where he is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you 100%. Like I'll admit I took publicly. I said, take Lomachenko. I thought, you know, Loma was the favorite for a reason, and not that, you know, I thought Lopez, and obviously do now, like he's a tremendous fighter, but I just thought power versus skill and win. But then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I didn't give enough credit for his boxing ability. I mean, that's what he showed in those earlier rounds and the work to the body, right? I mean,
absolutely. Well, you know, so my decision making for why I chose Loma was that he had been through adversity. He had been through all of these things, and he was battle tested at a top level. And, you know, of course, that's why I gave him the benefit of the doubt, because he's shown time in and time again that he was able to rise to the occasion and kind of come back from adversity, being knocked down, being just different things, you know what I mean? Like, and is able to come back and show how great he is. So that was the reason why I gave him that, because I hadn't seen that yet from Lopez. I saw the raw talent. I saw the raw ability, I saw the power, all the things he has. And we saw glimpses of it, but we never saw it at that stage. But when he did, he showed us, nah, this wasn't fake. This wasn't just, you know, a glimpse. This is who I am. And that's the reason why he is great.
Yes, he made his stamp on the division.
He made a stamp in history, man. History, like, right. I mean, like, history. Like, I mean, he's going to go down to be the only man to legitimately beat Lomachenko, because even everybody who watches the Salido fight goes, ah, yeah, he lost, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Everybody goes, ah, he lost, but you know, he was cheating. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and you know, four belts as well. I mean, I know exactly. Devin Haney would have something to say about that. But
and that's a great fight that I would love to see too. I would love to see that fight. That'd be a great fight. Oh man, that's true.
And Davis, I mean, Gervonta Davis and Santa Cruz coming up. I mean, Davis, like, I believe that's at 130. I could be mistaken, but.
I think it's 112. Oh, it's a 130, 135. It's like two belts or something like that, right? Or like two divisions.
Yes. Well, Santa Cruz is moving up. So I know, you know, it's not, it's either 130 or 135. I believe 130. But my point is Davis struggles to make that weight anyway. So he's a guy that could easily fight Teofimo, I feel like, at 135, or Haney, or what do you think about Garcia and Luke Campbell?
I think it's a good test for Ryan Garcia. You know, a lot of people think that Ryan Garcia is just, you know, the Instagram guy, but I think he's the real deal, to be honest. I think he made a good decision to be with a team like Canelo's. Because Canelo was once in that position. Canelo was once that kid that was coming up, and you know, everybody said, "Oh yeah, he's good," but you know, I think he's just this, you know. But until now, we're talking about Canelo's, you know, the man. So I think he made a good decision in going with them. I think that showed me maturity and growth, and showed that he wanted to really become his own person and his own, you know, champion and things like that. And I think it's a good place for him. And I think he's probably one of the dark horses in that division. Cause when you talk about that division, you talk about, you know, Teofimo, you talk about, you know, Davis and Devin Haney and everybody else. And then you go, oh yeah, Ryan Garcia, you know what I mean? But I think he's going to be the kid that's going to really make his stamp on there. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people and make his stamp. I mean, because I think there's some certain areas where he needs to tighten up his defense or tighten up some fundamentals, but the kid is explosive. The kid is fast.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy that Gervonta Davis knocked out in what, 9 rounds or something like that. He put out in what, a minute? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's like really honestly because he just looks like he's like a boy band star.
Right.
And kind of just feel like I don't know how, like, you don't want to give him the credit because he doesn't look like a tough, mean guy, but he's fast as hell. I mean, he's good.
I mean, he kind of gives you the Oscar De La Hoya effect. Oscar De La Hoya looked the same way. He looked like, you know, this guy should be a model or something like that. And then he comes out there and kills you. I mean, Oscar De La Hoya was a bad dude. You know what I mean? He was vicious when he was in the ring, and you know, a lot of people feared him, but he looked like, oh, you know, he's just Oscar De La Hoya. He's just, you know, he playing boxing, or he's just the gold medalist. Yeah. He's just a pretty boy, you know? And so even Floyd Mayweather, that's what, how they did Floyd Mayweather. Oh, he's just a pretty boy Floyd. Oh, he's defense, all this stuff. Who can beat him? You know what I mean? Who can beat him?
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you need that. And I think that he will legitimately make his stamp on that division. I think he's going to make some noise out there, and I'm rooting for him. Yeah. And I want him to do good. I want all those guys to do good, man. I'm not one of those dudes that's like, oh, you know.
Hopefully they all fight each other. You know, that's what.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we want.
If your guy loses, who cares? Like, you know, if they're all fighting each other, it'll be some classic fights. So
exactly. If you eliminate the whole "I need to be this perfect" thing, you know, then you lose the great fights. And I think that was a testament to Teofimo and him saying, "Look, I don't care who this dude is. I'm going to show them that I'm the best. I don't care if I lose. I'm going to go down trying. I'm going to go down showing that I am the man." Yeah. And I think hopefully that wakes some of these other kids up to say, "Hey, I'm going to do it too. Like, I'm going to show you. Yeah, come on. Let's go. Let's make this happen." And,
And Lomachenko too, like that's the crazy thing for me now is looking at him and like he's kind of in a tough spot because I'd imagine that, you know, a lot of promoters, they're not going to want to put their young star in there with Lomachenko, rush him, you know, into a fight like that. Cause you know, Loma lost, but he didn't, you know, he didn't get knocked out or he didn't look, you know, over the hill. It was a close, very, very close fight. So, yeah. You know, it's he's not going to get the rematch apparently. I'm sure people are going to be hesitant to go in there with him. It's kind of a weird spot for Lomachenko and, you know, you can't discredit him. I mean, he's still one of the best, so.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A side note, I was disgusted by the scorecards. Julie Letterman, goodness. Like, and this isn't the first time that she's ever done this. Like I was like, come on, you're making boxing look bad. Like you're making this look bad.
One round is insane.
Well, okay, look. I agree that you got the right guy. Okay. You got the right guy, but not like that. He didn't win like that. And you can't make that point. And the more and more you do things like that, the more and more people are going to be hesitant to be like, yeah, this is some, you know, BS, you know, and we don't want that. We want to put on good fights. We want to put on fights that like people go, yeah, they had it right. You know what I mean? We want that. So rather than the other way. And I feel like the more and more judges like her do things like that, the more and more you make boxing look bad. I'm to the point with her, like I'm like, you need to be 86 for boxing, you know what I mean? The door is that way.
Yeah. if you saw that she was judging one of your fights, I mean, would you allow that to happen? Or would you, I mean, I would imagine a lot of fighters, if they're aware that, you know, she's going to be my judge, I would say something. I wouldn't want her on the.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would make. I'm not particularly sure how much say you have if you're not the like a championship fight and you know certain right. like things. I'm not sure like how that all plays out. I have to look at the rules, but yeah, I would do my best to tell my people, hey. I don't think it'd be best for me. Well, shoot, depending on what side of the coin I'm on, and I know that sounds bad, but depending on what side of the coin I'm on, if she's on a Golden Boy card, and I'm a Golden Boy fighter, it might work out for me. You know what I mean?
I hear
but,
you.
Yeah, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't want her judging my fights because I know how.
Yeah,
she judges.
Breaking up a little bit. I don't know if there's a little.
Okay, I'm gonna try.
It just sounded like something was tapping, but it's all okay. Good.
Good now.
Yeah, I think it's better now. Perfect.
All right, cool.
One thing I wanted to, you know, ask you about before I let you go is, you know, you mentioned De La Hoya, obviously a legend of the sport. He's talking about fighting again. We on November, I forget the exact date, but coming up soon, we have Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Some of these, you know, legendary fighters coming back. What are your Yeah, what are your thoughts on it? And I guess, what do you got?
I mean, I like it. Like, to be honest, like, you know, fight like Roy Jones and Mike Tyson, I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, do I think they should be fighting? No. But am I going to watch it? Hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they should be doing it, but I'm going to. And I think that a lot of people will watch just to be kind of to be intrigued. Like, oh, what's going to happen with this? And hopefully it's not a stinker. Hopefully it's a good fight and they put on a good show for everybody. But no, I don't think that they should be doing it. Oscar De La Hoya, you know, I'm not sure if that is,
you said he's really, but I mean,
I don't know. I mean, like in my personal opinion, I think he should probably just stick to promoting. Yeah, I mean, if he can do it, if he puts out the work and is able to get it done, why not? I mean, one of his business partners Bernard Hopkins did it at 50. So why can't he? You know what I mean? Like, so I mean, I don't know.
Maybe that's where he gets the motivation from. But
yeah, maybe Bernard is like, you know, messing with him. Yeah. Oh, I got to go. I got to go at 50 years old, man. You stepped your game up.
Exactly.
But no, I don't think it's a good idea for either of those guys. You know, especially they got families and things like that, and at an older age like where he is and where they are. I think that it's probably bad for the health to be taking blows to the head, especially at a top level like Oscar De La Hoya is talking about. He's talking about fighting, you know, the top dogs, which is, you know, Charlo's, Munguia, all these guys. I'm not sure if that's the right decision to do. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
No, I hear you. I'm on the same page as you. But you know, Shane, I want to thank you for the time. You know, I really appreciated talking to you. And you know, I want you to let me know when you got a fight on the books, because I'd love to talk to you. You know, when you're in camp or when that fight is signed. And you know, I want to be up to date on all Shane Mosley Jr. news and have all the fans follow you. If you want to give a shout out to where they can follow you on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah, they can follow me on at Shane Mosley Jr. On Instagram. And yeah, that's where you can find my information, what I post on you know, everything. Awesome.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And this episode will be dropping real soon. So everyone go follow Shane, follow his career, and appreciate you taking some time to talk.
All right, thank you, brother.